Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on band.video, Rockfin, Odyssey, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without your amazing support. If you're interested in getting out of wherever you live in the early parts of February and going someplace really warm, I have to mention that I'll be speaking at the 2023 Anarcapulco, the largest anarchist convention in the world in Acapulco, Mexico, from February 6th through the 10th. Come on out. Get away. Make a vacation of it. Maybe it's a tax write-off. I don't know. I'm not licensed to give tax advice, but you know, it is an educational seminar. Maybe you can find a way to do that. It's not just going to be me and Berwick, obviously. Max Egan will be there, Larkin Rose, David Icke, Dan Dix, Dr. Ron Paul is back, Del Bigtree, Mark Passio, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Carrie Madej. A lot of other people will be there if you're interested in learning about crypto or how to get yourself away from crypto scams, I would suppose. There'll be a stage on that. So I'll tell you what, the link will be in the description. If you want to go to anarchapulco.com and get yourself a ticket, make sure to use the promo code MACRO because you will save some money and I would love to see you in Mexico. Also, thanks to our newest sponsor of the show, Legal Shield. They have been around for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and their services are available in the United States and Canada. And basically what they do, it's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high-powered law firms in our area. So when you want to go to, when you don't have an attorney, but you need one, if you're a member of Legal Shield, then you have access to an attorney in your area. The average attorney you'll be dealing with has 22 years of experience. So you're not going to get some guy fresh out of law school. You're going to get a real attorney that's going to be able to help you with a variety of things. Paperwork, legal paperwork. Listen, when was the last time you updated your will? That's an easy question to ask. If the answer is it's been a while, or I don't even have one, you're going to need to be an adult in this situation here. None of us want to do this. None of us want to spend that money and incur that cost or do any of this stuff, but you got to have a will. Okay. In America, and I'm not really sure how it is in Canada, but I'm assuming it's not good. But in America, when you die without a will, then the state gets involved. I'm going to speak at an anarchist convention that talks about how awful the state is. So if you want to keep your affairs out of the nose of the state, even after you're dead, then make sure you have a financial power of attorney. Make sure you have a medical power of attorney. Make sure you have a last will and testament. Get that stuff taken care of. So If you're a member of Legal Shield, which costs you $30 a month, it's a dollar a day, you'll have access to an attorney. What you'll do is immediately set up an appointment with them, knock these things out, get this paperwork done, get it all set up, put it in your safe, and then you've got it in case something bad happens. I hope it doesn't, but you're covered either way. But on aside from that, if you have legal contracts that come your way, your work wants you to sign some weird thing that has to do with, medical something or other over the last 2 years, send it to your attorney. All right. You don't sign anything until they take a look at it. Your HOA is giving you a hard time. The jewelry store where you bought your watch said that they were going to fix it and they weren't going to, and they didn't fix it. And they said, well, take us to court then. Well, guess what? Now you're getting a letter from our attorney. Okay. This is why we set up the website, the domain that we did, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Because look, when you don't have an attorney, people will push you around, but you can level the playing field. You can take back some of that power. They tell us in America, equal justice under the law. You remember that? That's what they teach you in like civics class. It's bullshit. It's just bullshit, and we all know that. When you live in this world, you come to realize that there's one set of rules for the people that have power and money, and there's another set of rules for everybody else. And part of that has to do with their access to legal representation, okay? So we've leveled the playing field. Don'tgetpushedaround.com. Do this. Just go check it out. Just go take a look and see what you think. Go to the website and see for yourself. I can tell because I'm getting all the inbound emails from people that have signed up. You're welcome. I'm a member now too. I feel bad that I didn't introduce you guys to this sooner. I didn't know about it sooner. Sorry. You get it when I get the information. Okay. So, and all of you that have already signed up. Yeah, I know. It was a great idea. And thank you to Tony Arterburn for making that happen. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the website if you want to go check that out. And also thank you so much to our long running sponsor, My Patriot Supply. They have been nice enough to create a landing page for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. That link will also be in the show notes. Look, it's coming. So we've got supply chain issues. We've got uncertainty on the horizon, economic uncertainty, war uncertainty, weather uncertainty. I mean, everything's uncertain these days. Food, we know. You're never going to get things back to normal, but you can at least remove some layers of this uncertainty by knowing that you've got yourself food for a couple of months, just set aside and done. You can knock that out in 10 minutes. You can actually do that, buy it, forget that you bought it, and then all these boxes will show up at your house in a couple of days, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I took care of all of our food needs for the next several months, just in case. So I'll tell you what, the website is preparewithmacroaggressions.com. Take a look. They've been having good sales over there. I don't know why. I don't know why they're having sales. They should be charging double, frankly. But they're not, and we appreciate them. Okay, so now that we got the business out of the way, and thank you all to our sponsors. I couldn't do the show without you guys. And thank you to everybody that supports them. I try to bring good sponsors, ones that make sense, fulfill a need that we need. And but I'd be lying, man, if I said that I feel like things are good or things are turning a corner towards good. I don't like to be pessimistic about this stuff. I like to be like, well, I think I see things, I see bright skies on the way. I just don't. And I don't say that to like scare people or anything like that. I'm just being as honest as I can with my assessment. I think things will get better at some point. And I'm not saying that we're going to live in this forever, but we have to acknowledge when there are bad times, if for no other reason than we can measure them against the good times to see how great the good times were. But we are definitely in a bad time right here. And it's not just America-centric. It's international. And we're feeling it in a lot of different ways. There's a darkness to this whole vibe lately. I'm going to get into a lot of it, and here's sort of my dilemma that I have when it comes to shows like this, is that on the one hand, I don't want to be negative and I don't want to talk about all of the insanity and the real darkness that I'm seeing out there, because I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to really amplify it to the extent that I even could, but I don't want to encourage it or make it like a, you know, a feedback loop where it gets worse the more we worry about it getting worse and everything like that. So I'm always very cautious and maybe even a little hesitant to get into a lot of the dark stuff. But then there's the other side of me that says, well, I don't have the luxury of censoring this stuff. Not even if I wanted to, which I don't, but I can't. It's too important. It's too important to talk about it. So look, this is the deal I'll make with everybody, is that I'll talk about the bad stuff, even if I don't want to, because I think that we need to know about it, not dwell on it, but be aware of it. Because when you're aware of something, you can do something about it. Sometimes awareness hampers this bad thing from happening because they're counting on people being unaware, and your awareness kind of screws up their plan. I don't know. I want to talk about what we've been seeing in the world recently, just so that we know, like, kind of what we're up against, and we can make decisions. Is this a world we want to live in? Is this a world? Is this a society that we want to participate in? Do we want to pay taxes to pedophiles to make the climate better? You know, do we want to? Are we going to shop and put our hard-earned Federal Reserve notes, spend them on brands that are promoting Satanism, targeting children? Do we want to do this? Like, how do we want to deal with this situation that we're seeing? Because I see dark clouds on the horizon, unfortunately. And I wish I saw something else, but I don't. Our society seems to have lost its way morally. And they are trying, who's they? You know, the controllers, they're trying to destroy our value system and replace it with theirs. And we're free to do what we want, right? You can pick however you want to go through this life, but I just do not connect with their value system. I do not connect with this. The death, the destruction, the hurting of children, the sexualization of children, the destruction of the family, destruction of what's good, the destruction of what's real, replacing it with artificial synthetic things, synthetic food, synthetic thoughts. We're at like a real pivotal time, I feel, where we're going to make some decisions about whether or not we're okay with this. And we're just going to normalize this insanity. And then later, years from now, defend it against others that say, you know, what you guys believe in is crazy. How dare you attack my values? Your values of what? Dressing kids up in bondage outfits and using them to, you know, dressing teddy bears up in bondage outfits and using them to sell kids clothes? If those are your values, then yeah, I'm going to destroy your values. I don't give a fuck. But this is the direction that we're headed. And it has to do, I feel like, with a lack of integrity in you know, my job is to, or one of the things I do is watch politics. I don't vote. I don't like these people. I would never run for office. I would never do any of that stuff. I watch it the way, I don't know, maybe the way like a anthropologist watches, maybe the way Jane Goodall watched the apes before Jane Goodall became a member of the World Economic fucking Forum, of course. But, you know, just observing politics and its environment and making notes and writing books and doing shows and everything like that. But I have no interest in getting involved in this. But I've watched these politicians take us down a path that's leading to our own enslavement. And I think it's important for us to have the conversation. Again, not to dwell on these things, but to talk about it and mention it and recognize it and know it. So that when you see it in the future, you know, you know what you don't want. Okay. They say that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. You heard that before? But we live in a society that's filled with facial recognition cameras, so everybody's watching at all times, and there's still no integrity. You know, you would think that would keep you on the straight and narrow. You know, you would think, oh shit, man, people are watching me. I mean, religion's done this forever. The imaginary man in the sky is watching you, and if you start jacking off, you're gonna go blind. You know, all these fears that say, oh well, you know, you're being judged. He's watching you in the clouds. The old man with the long beard is in the clouds watching and managing your daily life, and you better be scared. It's like, oh shit. All right, well, for a lot of people, that's all it takes. Keep them on the straight and narrow. Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, what's hell? Oh, I don't know, but it's, I don't want to go there. Okay. All right. But we've got a society where everybody's watching. And you would think that with everybody watching, you would be embarrassed to conduct yourself in a certain way. But you would be wrong, of course, because every single day we see something crazier than the day before. We see people doing things that are displaying their lack of integrity in a manner that they used to feel the need to hide, and now they no longer do. There is a sort of you know, the trolley paradigm. You know that thing where you can, the trolley goes in two different track directions, and you pull the lever here, and one person dies, or you pull the lever this way, and five people die. Whatever, you know, it's a moral experiment and everything. We have these little experiments from time to time where we sort of test somebody's morality. And there's another little morality tester out there. It's well known. It doesn't mean necessarily anything, except it's just kind of a fun thought experiment. And I will explain this to the people, because I know this show is now international, and I'm grateful, and hello to everyone. This show is, and I'm not even making this up, this is the number one show in the African country of Angola. I have no fucking idea how that works, but thank you. So it's an international show. I don't expect everybody to understand the cultures and things like that of America, but there is a little thought experiment called the shopping cart test. Are you familiar with that? People in America are going, oh, I know what you're talking about. So you go to the grocery store. If you need five items or something, maybe you grab a little basket. If you need more, you grab a shopping cart, a bigger cart, four wheels, filled up 20, 30 things. All right. Buy that you go through the checkout, take the shopping cart out of the store, into the parking lot, to your car. Load all the things in all your groceries into your car, close your car up. You have the shopping cart. There is a home for the shopping cart. There are little corrals that have been made in the parking lot. Usually takes up a parking space, maybe two parking spaces back to back and face out different directions. That is a shopping cart corral. When you're done with your shopping cart, you should take your shopping cart and put it in that shopping cart corral for a couple of reasons. That's where it goes. That's where it lives. And second of all, it doesn't belong out in the middle of the parking lot because other cars can hit it, or it can take up parking spaces that may be needed, but whatever. The point is, it takes you 30 seconds to do this. Nobody makes you do it. Nobody is telling you you have to do it. There's no financial incentive for you doing it. There's no moral incentive for you doing it. It's just all up to you. It's, are you going to be the person that puts your cart away or not? I am a better person than many people simply because I put my shopping cart away. Not true. I mean, I do put my shopping cart away every single time. Doesn't necessarily make me a better person. But my point is this, is that it's what you do when nobody's watching. That's integrity, right? What you do when nobody really is paying attention, except maybe you. You internally know that's the right thing to do, and you do it out of respect, out of habit, maybe, but you do it. And I mentioned this a couple shows ago. I butchered it, so I want to make sure I get it right. But it brings me back to the old adage that maybe you have seen, where it says, hard times create strong people. Strong people create good times. Good times create weak people. Weak people create hard times. Where we are right now is that in America, at least for the last 50 plus years, we had been in the good times create weak people mode. At least the last 30 years or so. And we've been watching this weakness build up and build up and build up. And we are now in the weak people create hard times phase. We have a lot of very weak people out there, mentally weak, physically weak, for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's that they're all injected with a bunch of things, magic potions that the pharmaceutical industry gives you. Weak because they're vegans and they're not eating. I'm not trying to shit on all the vegans or anything, but there's, you know, it takes a toll on certain people's bodies. Maybe you're weak because you're just physically weak. Maybe you're just drinking Dr. Pepper and playing video games all day long and you're not doing anything. There's that too. But more so, I'm talking about the mental weakness. A lot of mentally weak people out there. And they are most definitely creating hard times because their weakness is screwing it up for everybody. They're insisting that their weakness be projected onto strong people. And say, well, you're stronger than me, so I need to bring you down to my level of weakness so that I feel better about myself, so that we're equal. We, you know, equality means they don't want to raise themselves up equality-wise. They don't want to raise themselves up to a higher level. They want to drag you down to their level so that we're all equal. It's the crab bucket thing. If you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, that first crab that starts to get out of the bucket, all the other ones will pull it back down in there. That's what happens in disadvantaged communities. Culturally, it becomes disrespectful for you to leave the hood or whatever, you know, things like that. So it's an undeniable sort of cycle that we find ourselves in. And I don't know anybody that would argue too hard that we're not in the weak people create hard times phase of this. But we're going to get hard times. We're coming up in hard times. And as it says in the old adage, it will create strong people. But geez, man, that process is going to take a while. And we're going to have to live through it. We're going to have to deal with this. And I want to know how to navigate best. I want to be able to identify who these weak people are and either avoid them, if possible, avoid them. Or if I have to deal with them in a way that's advantageous to me, where I don't allow them to pull me down to their level. I try to elevate them to mine, but if that's not possible, then I will just make sure that I do not allow them to drag me down to their level. And by their level, it could be a bunch of things. It could be something as innocuous as me just finally caving in and putting my pronouns in my email signature or something like that, or in my Twitter bio or something, and saying, well, you know, it's not happening. I'm not going to allow you weak people to drag me down to your level. And we're seeing this in a variety of different ways. We're seeing this socially, for sure. Financially, it's coming. I want to talk about that. We're seeing it just as a society. Certain countries are starting to embrace some very weird things. Some very dark ideas are being normalized. I'm going to get into that towards the end here. Hollywood's role in this. I'm going to talk about. What's going on in Canada, man. Pretty soon here in a minute, and I'll just warn you in advance that I love you Canadians, man. You people are fantastic. I like your style. I like your hockey. I don't like cold weather. Oh, I live in a cold place. Your government is run by criminals, and they are working on a policy right now that is nothing short of demonic. But I'll get to that in a second. Let's talk first about the financial integrity of this world. It leaves a lot to be desired. We have we have central banking, which is a stain on humanity. If somebody gave me a magic wand and said, you can eliminate one thing in this planet forever to make this world a better place, what would you do? My answer would be, I would eliminate all central banks immediately. People, well, that's a boring one. Maybe. But the repercussions of what the central banks have done has been financial slavery for almost the entire planet by some very diabolical people that understand how money works and banking and the use of the use of the media to shape society into acting in a certain way. We're starting to see central banking 2.0, though. This is the reason why I bring this up is because we're moving from this traditional 1913 Federal Reserve is established central banking system. We're now 100 years of that scam being run. And, that's why the value of the dollar, it's lost 98% of its value over the last 100 years or so because of the central banking model, because of the inflation model, because of fractional reserve lending, because of all of these scams that they've been running with banking. Here comes the new scam. It's central banking digital currencies. We've talked about this a lot. We will talk about this more in the future. That's not what this episode is about. It's not about CBDCs. But if we're going to talk about dark clouds on the horizons, I have to mention this. This is one of the most important components that's coming down the road towards society over the next decade. And it is the hill to die on. I will be very clear about that. If you allow central banking digital currencies to be normalized and used inside the world as a whole, America in particular, you might as well just lock yourself in a prison cell. You will live a life that you have never imagined, and it won't be good. The types of things that you see in your computer screen or maybe your television set showing the dystopian lockdown hellscapes of China, that's your future with central bank digital currencies. And I'm not playing that up for the show. It's quite literally where you will be. They'll always be watching. They'll always be watching you with that. It's a slave system. It's a slave system. The CBDC component of this. You have omnipotent, godlike control over money into the hands of a few people that have already proven themselves to be the worst people on the planet. No, thank you. Not interested in that. But here's the reason why I do bring it up, even though this episode isn't about that in particular, is that I recognize that almost nobody understands central bank digital currencies. Nobody's really talking about it. We're starting to get a little bit of the media coming into this saying, the Fed is testing out this pilot program. They're going to work with a couple banks and corporations to see what we can do with this CBD. I mean, yes, we've been screaming about this. It's in the books I've written. We know it's coming. Berwick and I talked about this quite a bit in the Controlled Demolition book. We know it's coming. They know, they've said it, so it's only hidden to the extent that you're not out there actively searching for it. But now it's making mainstream news. Now it's coming. Now it's great. Now you're going to hear about it everywhere. So it's important that I mention this as much as I can, episode to episode, because I want to make sure that people really understand that when you see CBDC, central bank digital currency, you understand, just understand that that is a slave system being brought in for you. You being the slave. Me too. Not like I get a free pass in this thing. It's a slave system for all of us. And for those of you Bible lovers out there, the mark of the beast. It was mentioned in there. I'm out of my area of expertise when we start talking about the Bible, but I do understand that there is that mark of the beast component. Nobody will be able to buy or sell or trade or whatever, all that stuff. Yeah. Guess what? I mean, they might not have been talking about it in the Bible particularly, but what they were talking, that idea, that concept is here. And this is it. So the currency will have no actual value, much like the people controlling it. They have no value either. And but what they do hate, and I think this is sort of a theme for this episode, they do hate actual value. You know, they hate you having values. They hate money that has actual value. They hate things like gold and silver that have value because you, it's a, first of all, it's a limited supply of gold and silver. It requires resources to pull it out of the ground and refine it and manufacture it and print it, stamp it and ship it and all that stuff. There's actual work that goes into it, as opposed to some asshole at the Fed typing in numbers in his computer, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's created $1 billion. There's no value there. It's too easy to create that. It has no value. When you have things like gold and silver, they have actual value because it requires effort, energy, all kinds of things to pull them out of the ground and get them ready for our use. So there's value there. They hate that. That's why gold and silver have been suppressed by these banker magicians over the years. Because if you were to figure this out, if everyone is to figure out that I don't want these Fed notes that may or may not have any value. I don't want those. I don't want a CBDC that you can set to expire every year on your birthday. You know, they just say, well, you didn't spend it, so we just set it to expire. You know, I don't want any of that. I want something with actual value, whether it be money with value, a society with values, you know, working for a corporation that has actual values, you know, or that at least they say this is what we're about. You know, they want to destroy all of that. They want to destroy that. They want to destroy humanity. We've talked about the Club of Rome, you know, and they talk about, they say, well, the common enemy is humanity. You know, we came up with the idea that the common enemy was humanity. It's like, well, of course you guys came up with that. You're psychopaths. Humanity is the enemy to them, for sure. They're unwell. But there's a group, there's a country that is sprinting towards insanity, and that's Canada. We've been talking about Justin Castro for a while. He is one of the most unimpressive people I think I've ever seen. He is just a little bitch. He just really is. I don't know how else to say it. Watching Xi wreck him in that kind. Did you see that? I think it wasn't G20 summit. It was G19. I don't know. Russia didn't show up. And there was that video of them all kind of standing around talking, and someone that spoke Mandarin translated, and they're like, "Oh, Xi is giving it to Castro there." But Canada is slipping into, I mean, a mentality that would make Dr. Kevorkian proud. And of course, I'm talking about medical assistance in dying. MAID, M-A-I-D. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing about the MAID program in Canada, well, strap in and you're not going to like what you're going to hear. MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying, in Canada became legal in June of 2016. And in March of 2021, the law was amended by Bill C-7, which permits assisted euthanasia. Okay, this is a moral conundrum here, right? Because on the one hand, look, if I'm really, really sick and I've got a degenerative brain condition that is going to put me in a vegetative state, won't kill me, it's just going to put me in a vegetative state, and it's coming, and I can feel it coming, and the doctors tell me it's coming, and my family knows it's coming. I wouldn't pretend to understand that dilemma. And I would say that that's a personal choice, right? I mean, like going down this path and like, what do you do? What do you do? You know, you don't want to leave your family in a bad spot. You're obviously, you don't want to be like a comatose vegetable. Maybe your mind, maybe your body works, but your mind doesn't. Maybe it's like just like being in a coma. Maybe your mind works, but your body doesn't. So you hear everything, but you're stuck. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot. I haven't been through a process like this, thankfully. So I'm not going to sort of, I'm not putting this on the people that are having to make this decision for themselves. This is not my place to tell them they're right or wrong. I'm not, that's not what this is about. I'm talking about the government's role. Okay. Your desire to, I have no issue with the Dr. Jack Kevorkian, who, for those of you that don't know, he was an American doctor in the 80s in Michigan who had a suicide machine. He was helping people that were terminal go out on their own terms. Talk about a moral conundrum, right? I mean, this is just, it's a lot, man. And it's worthy of a conversation and worthy of debates. And there were debates. And there was a lot of back and forth with this guy in the 80s with Jack. And I think he went into the 1990s too. So this went on for a while, and it's something that we have to think about. But this is, there's a problem with when it escapes the household, when I'm not talking about the conversation that the patient has with his immediate family and tries to decide what they want to do. That's their choice. That's their private decision. It's their life. It's the family's decision. I'm not getting involved in that. What I'm concerned with is the government's enthusiasm surrounding this. What I'm concerned with is the government's promotion of this as an option. In 2021, just to put this in perspective in terms of how big of an operation is this, because when Jack Kevorkian was doing this in Michigan, it was like an old lady in her early 70s had Parkinson's really bad. I don't know. You know, I mean, it was like one lady, one patient, one decision, one dilemma. In 2021, more than 10,000 people in Canada were medically euthanized. Now, if it's their choice, then it's their choice. But what about when the government makes a cost-benefit analysis on your viability as a productive member of society, or as Henry Kissinger would call it, you know, the useless eater problem? You know, you're a drain on society. Here in America, we have Social Security. You have to consider you're going to cost us a lot in Social Security. You're not really contributing much. And, you know, what is your value? Bill Gates is still talking about death panels. This is death panel shit. Okay. It's all theoretical until Bill Gates gets involved, right? And he starts going, well, actually, you know, if we do a really good job with our death panel, I mean, our medical assistance in dying, we can really lower that number by 10 or 15%. You know, I mean, it's the same pitch, but Canada is aware of this potential problem. And so that in order to prevent, quote, suicide tourism, and I wish I were making that term up, Canada is requiring that the people be tied to the Canadian healthcare system. So you can't just get on a plane and go, like, you can go fly to Thailand and get your balls chopped off and be, you know, get that transgendered surgery over there because it's cheaper. You can't just fly to Canada and get involved and have them medically assist in your suicide. Yet. There's a big asterisk. You can't do that yet. But there is a, I mentioned that in 2016, it became legal and that it was amended in 2021. The amendment part is what's really alarming because they added new language into it. And this is the language, quote, "The law no longer requires a person's natural death to be reasonably foreseeable to access medical assistance in dying." Meaning, you don't even have to be close to death. You just have to want to die. Now, this is being promoted. This is the problem I have with it. If this stayed a Kevorkian issue between you and your doctor and you were, you know, making these hard decisions, that's one thing. Go to Google. Next time you're in front of a computer, go to Google. Type MAID, M-A-I-D, Canada. See how many articles come up promoting it. This is the real problem, is the promotion of this as an option. Now, it used to be that you had to be like near death. And like I said, this new law says no longer requires a person's natural death to be reasonably foreseeable. It was reasonable that you were going to die. I have stage 50 cancer and I can't even believe I made it. Can you please put me out of my misery? You don't need that anymore. Now it's, I had a bad day and my boss told me I'm getting demoted at work. Oh, really? Well, can I offer you the maids program? I mean, fuck your boss, right? You don't have to worry about anything anymore. Your team lost, your girlfriend dumped you, you have no money, friends hate you, you know what I mean? What? Who cares? None of that stuff matters. Have you heard of the new maids program? Oh, it's fantastic. Now, you think I'm being sort of over the top with this, and maybe I am, but I ask you, have you seen the short film made by the company called Simon? Simon is a home decor and clothing company. Home decor, you know, kind of like Wayfair, maybe. Clothing company, fashionable clothing. Balenciaga? I'm just throwing names out there. But Simon is a Canadian-based company, has stores, not just limited to Canada, they have them in the United States as well. Maybe internationally, I'm not sure. And they made a short film that they turned into commercials for their store about a woman named Jennifer Hatch's planned assisted suicide. It's very Abercrombie and Fitch-like in the vibe of this. I mean, commercial? Commercial for assisted suicide, I guess. They call it a short film. And it's with this lady. I've watched it. And she, you know, and it looks like they're selling lifestyle. But you know what they're selling? Death style. You're using all the same tactics, showing this lady sitting on the beach, throwing rocks into the ocean, you know, skipping stones and talking about, I've always wondered when it was my time to go, you know, would I be surrounded by the right people? And how would I feel about this? It's this voiceover, this very soothing beach scene. And it's making everybody feel like they're just out there living their best life. When we're talking about taking their own life, we're talking about killing yourself. And they're selling a feeling. They're selling an image. Look how brave you are. Look how strong you are. You're making this decision on your own. You're taking nature out of the equation. You're so brave, you're going to do it yourself, you know. Celebrate this. And oh, stunning and brave. All the way to the grave. That's what they'll say. It's fucking disgusting, frankly. I've never been more appalled with a corporate decision. Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm about to get to someone that... second half of this episode. They are on the list of corporations that I am very just disappointed with. And I look, I have a, I, when I see stuff like this, I go back into my old marketing head. I have a marketing degree from a top 25 university in America, which means nothing, which means I sat through classes and passed the test. But I did spend quite a bit of time working in media and advertising agencies. And I understand how this shit works. There is a long process for this to go from concept to final edit of this. Okay. A lot of people needed to sign off on this. I just am a little confused as to why a home decor and clothing company decided that they were going to use a woman killing herself as the empowerment story that they want to represent their brand and paint this feeling in the consumer's mind of this is what this brand, Simon, is all about. Empowerment. By taking your own life? Really? This is like, you know, going to Oakland and they're pulling people in that have jumped off the Bay Bridge and saying, what kind of shoes was he wearing? What kind of shoes was he wearing? I can't, as somebody that would have been in these meetings, I cannot fathom this. But that's where we are as a society. And I've got, you know, and if you think MAIDS is bad, it's just starting. And it's just starting in Canada. They are going to sell the concept of you killing yourself like they sell you shoes. Because it's not about the product. It's about a feeling. It's about perception. It's about how you perceive yourself. And it's also, maybe even more importantly, how you think others will perceive you. I've got these $400 shoes on. Everyone's going to perceive me as being rich and cool. Oh yeah? Well, I'm going to kill myself through medical assistance in dying. And then you guys are all going to come to my funeral and sing songs about how stunning and brave I am. Now, I can envision a world in which a lot of mentally scrambled kids are going through tough times that we all go through, especially at certain ages, and they start normalizing this concept. Only in a truly sick society would you normalize and glorify this. I think we are living in this sick society, unfortunately. Now, New York City, not to be outdone when it comes to crazy ass ideas, but New York City is now going to be hospitalizing mentally ill people involuntarily after the recent subway attacks. I'm all for people that need mental health getting the help that they need. I don't see anything inherently wrong with that. However, Eric Adams is going to be the one in charge of this. He's the mayor of New York City. He's a former cop and a certified lunatic. If you've ever listened to him talk, he's out of his fucking mind completely. So, excuse me if I am not enthusiastic about Eric Adams and his group of police officers who routinely beat the shit out of people for no good reason. If they're the ones that are going to be making the decision on who is and who isn't mentally ill. Now, if you've got a knife and you're on the subway and you've taken your pants off and you've tied your socks around your neck and you're threatening to stab everybody. Okay. I mean, maybe a case can be made for that. What if you voted Republican? Is that enough to get you mental illness designation? Because here's the problem. He didn't offer any sort of explanation as to when these people will be allowed to leave or what the path is to getting out of the insane asylum they put you in. See, all they have to do is decide that you're mentally ill, and they put you in the hospital, and they physically put you in the hospital, and then digitally put you in the system. Now you're in the system. Anybody that's been through the court system, the judicial system, the prison system understands what that means. Once they put you in that system, you're never getting out. You might physically get out of that hospital, but you're in the system now. You're in their database and they're watching you. They called for the ability for community removals. Community removals, like we get to vote on who gets taken to the insane asylum? Because if that's the case, I've got some people I'd like to nominate, starting with Eric Adams. But they want to detain people indefinitely in mental institutions. This is New York's solution to this. Okay, so we've got assisted suicide being normalized in Canada. We have involuntary detentions in mental institutions being normalized in New York City. It doesn't take long before they determine that, you know, again, the good part of me, the part of me that says, oh, these people only want what's best for us, is like, they're going to help mentally ill people in New York City that are down in the, you know, in the subway system threatening people. They're going to take those people and get them the help that they need. Maybe. Hopefully, that'd be great. And for all those people in Canada that are just going through excruciating pain, there's an option for them to check out early in a less painful way. The good part of me, the part of me that's not poisoned by what society really becomes, thinks, okay, I can maybe understand some of the benefits to these ideas. But the problem is this. What do they both have in common? Government. When the government of Canada gets involved, well, we've seen what happens. And when the government in New York City gets involved, well, we've seen what happens there too. So I can't think of two less trustworthy individuals than Justin Trudeau and Mayor Eric Adams of New York City to be in charge of these very, very serious ideas. Okay. Terrence McKenna, if the ghost of Terrence McKenna was involved in the assisted suicide and he said, we've got to come at this from it, I'd be willing to listen to him and he'd probably make a good explanation and I wouldn't get that vibe. Justin Trudeau wants you dead because you gave money to the trucker convoy. You don't think he would authorize somebody to make it easier for you to be suicided? Let's move on to something lighter. let's talk about Balenciaga. Jesus fucking Christ. These people are relentless with their love of pedophilia. Look, in case you haven't figured it out by now, there is a global elite. I use that elite part loosely, that values some very strange things. Part of that is sexualization of children, the raping of children, the drinking of children's blood, and the murder of children. Okay. Okay. If you want, you can slap that Alex Jones label or QAnon or whatever you want to do, whatever sort of tactic you think you want to put on that to try and make me sound crazy. I get it. I understand. Anything to not believe it, because to believe it is to understand what we're really working with here. I don't want to believe it either, but it's true. Okay. They are running a death cult. And this is the sort of thing that happens in the end of empire. And you get concepts like Tom DeLay coming out in 2016 saying that he was sitting in meetings when he was the Senate Minority Leader, I guess, or where they were talking about normalizing 12 perversions, including pedophilia and bestiality. He said he sat in those meetings with the State Justice Department. Okay, first of all, why are you having those meetings? What are you talking about? Why are you trying to normalize 12 perversions? And isn't it weird that just 6-7 years later, what Tom DeLay was talking about seems like it's kind of coming true? We've got the Balenciaga situation right now, which is, for those that don't know, it's a clothing brand. Kim Kardashian is repped by them. Kanye was involved with them. You might have seen their ridiculous fashion show clips. Parts of the clips were making it around the internet a couple of months ago, where it was like these people in like, to call it a runway show wouldn't be, it looked more like the hot mud wrestling pit at Hollywood Tropicana in the 90s, where it was like this, just this big mud pit and all these people like trudging around in these black leather, like, I don't, devil outfits. I don't know. The whole thing was very, and it was just filled with mud and very dark. And it, you know, normally you're expecting like the catwalk and we're going to see these beautiful models and they're going to come out in these nice clothes or ridiculous clothes too. There's always that. But this was like something straight out of like a Saw movie. Okay. And it was all these people like trudging through. I just the best way I can describe it. Head down, like walking really fast, looking crazy and doing this. And you're watching this, and you're going, I'm sorry, what are you selling? Evil? Are you selling evil? Is it on sale? Is it fall? You know, the spring 2023 look is all about, you know, the devil or something. I mean, it really kind of is. So you see this and you go, well, that's not a brand I'd be interested in, but who cares, right? Well, I'll tell you why people care. Because they put together a marketing campaign and they used teddy bears that were dressed up in bondage outfits with little kids holding the teddy bears dressed in bondage outfits, which is weird and not normal and all of that. But then when you dig into the background of this picture, and there's a lot going on in the picture, and there's two different pictures. There's a couple of different ones. It was like part of an ad campaign. But in the background, you've got things that they, if you're looking for it, they want you to find. It's kind of like a wink or a nod to the people. It's all these, there's like a file, you know, like a case file, like a law file spread across the desk. And it was a court case that had to do with pedophilia. And it had the kids in the thing were wearing red shoes, type, maybe not at your work computer, but maybe at your home computer, you could type Paul Podesta red shoes and take a look at that. There's a tape, like police tape, like a roll of yellow police tape that might normally say caution. Well, this police tape had been redone where it said Balenciaga, but it didn't actually say that. It looked like it might say that if you had unrolled it, but you could really only see the first four letters of it, and it spelled Balenciaga wrong. It spelled it B-A-A-L was all you could see. Now, B-A-A-L is Baal, and Baal is the mythic god that you sacrificed babies to. Now, it wasn't police tape that said Balenciaga. It was police tape that was made to intentionally misspell that name and spell it B-A-A-L. Not a misrun at the yellow tape factory, if you know what I mean. Done intentionally. So we've got satanic imagery. We've got pedophilia imagery going on here. And what do we get from the media? The media starts running cover for it. You know what the media is, you know what the New York Times started doing? They said, this is what happens when QAnon people get involved and start looking at this stuff. Again, like I said earlier, if you want to say this is all QAnon stuff and Pizzagate, you do that at your own peril. If that makes you feel better at night to say, oh, these people are all crazy, they're talking about this Pizzagate stuff and it's all fake and there's nothing there to it and all this stuff. It's all Q stuff. All right, you tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night. Truth is, it's real. We've got Marina Abramovich, satanic parties connected to the Hollywood cult. Her artwork is, here's the thing about the art world. The art world is, by and large, a tremendous scam. Okay, just a money laundering operation. But in the pedophile world, there's another component to it as well. There's a lot of pedophilia art out there, and it sells at really high prices. And it is a fantastic way to launder money through art and pedo art in particular. Take a look, since I mentioned Tony Podesta, let's mention John Podesta, his brother. And take a look at the artwork at the Podesta household. It's art is subjective. Not that subjective. It's just really not that subjective when you have artwork of a bunch of little kids with their arms tied behind their backs, with ball gags in their mouths and their feet tied and tears coming down their eyes. And they're in their underwear and they're all like four in this painting. And you've got a painting of six of them all tied up in this. There's nothing subjective about that. You're a pedophile who enjoys pedophilia art. That's what you're into. So this is what I'm talking about with this darkness. It's being normalized. And it goes to the totalitarian tiptoe that David Icke always talks about, that you can't go from A to Z all at once. You can't go from pedophiles are the worst people in the world to, oh, it's totally normal to have sex with children. You have to make that incremental. If that's your plan, it's not my plan, it's their plan. But in order for their plan to work, it has to be very incremental, which is why you get Tom DeLay talking about them trying to normalize 12 perversions. You get Comet Pizza with James Alefantis, the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C. I ask you a simple question. How can a guy that owns a pizza parlor be the 49th most powerful person in a city, Washington, D.C., that is filled with the most powerful people in the world? Please explain that to me and take as much time as you need, or at least as much time as it takes to cook a pizza. So, and James Alefantis' boyfriend, maybe not anymore, but at the time of all of this was David Brock. David Brock is the founder of Media Matters. David Brock was the big bundler for the Clintons. The Podesta artwork, you know about the John and Tony Podesta, I just mentioned them. But John Podesta, Clinton campaign manager. We've got Jeffrey Epstein, belonging to intelligence, so he's allowed to rape kids. Another connection to Bill Clinton. Mark Middleton took Jeffrey Epstein to Bill Clinton's White House 17 times. Then Mark Middleton, earlier this year, wound up hanging from a tree by an electric cord with a shotgun blast to the stomach. We have CNN with their pedophile producers that are luring kids across state lines, hoping to have sex with them and their parent and their mother, which is weird. Multiple producers doing this. We've seen the pictures of the Rothschild castle parties in the 70s, eating people-shaped food. Like I said, the Maria Abramovich cannibal parties they've been a part of. Like, I'm sorry if I'm pointing out the, you know, what's out there, but they're trying to normalize this. Scott Wiener, perfect name, representative from California, trying to reduce penalties for pedophiles. He's the one that was trying to trying to pass this law that says if you're raped by somebody that's less than 10 years, or less than 10 years older than you, then it's not pedophilia. So if you're 11 and the person that rapes you is not quite 21 yet, but 20, they're fine. If you're 7 and your rapist is not quite 17, then it doesn't count. You know, look, stop trying to make excuses for pedophiles. I mean, take a look, by the way, if you take a look at Scott Wiener, who's an openly gay man, and I'm not trying to say that being gay makes you a pedophile, but in this case, he's a pedophile who happens to be gay. And take a look at him. You just take a look at him. Just take a look at Scott Wiener in San Francisco. Tell me what you think. Tell me if you think that guy should be in charge of what's right and wrong for children. We've got Biden's nuclear energy tranny arrested for stealing somebody else's luggage. Did you hear about this? You know, the little guy, the little fellow looks kind of like me if I shaved my beard and put on high heels and lipstick, took my glasses off. Oh my God. So embarrassed. He got busted. He went through the airport. If you guys haven't heard this story, allow me to explain. It's kind of funny. It's sort of perfect for the Biden administration, you know, because he's hiring all the carnival freaks. And he hired this little fella, the one with the shaved head, and who's in charge of the nuclear secrets. And this little guy put on his best high heels and got on a plane from Washington, D.C. and flew to Minneapolis. Didn't check a bag, just had a carry-on because he was going to be at some conference there in St. Paul. And he went, mind you, you're in the airport and everything's on camera, right? He went, I remember, he didn't have a check bag. He did not check a bag. He just brought a carry-on. He went to the baggage claim carousel, saw a bag that he liked, grabbed it, ripped the tag off of it, and then quickly hurried out of the airport, got into an Uber and left. Well, guess what? The lady who owned that bag, that suitcase, went to the place, said, I never got my bag. It just never came out. And they said, well, we have security footage. And what we'll do is we'll just roll back to the time when your bag was coming out and we'll just see if your bag even made it on there. And she goes, there's my bag. And that guy is stealing it. That was Biden's guy. He then lied to the police and said, I don't know what you're talking about. It was my bag. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you, except that when I opened it up, I mean, it's my bag with my clothes. I don't know what to tell you. Then they put the heat on. They cranked the heat up a little bit and he had to admit, okay, it wasn't my bag. I didn't mean to take it. I didn't know whose it was. Now we know where he gets all his women's clothing, right? Let's move on. Let's move on to something. Oh, I mean, it's different than the pedo problems that we've got, but it ain't much better. And that's the died suddenly component to this darkness that's enveloping our current society right now, man. I tell you, 2023 might be the year where it becomes undeniable that the shots are killing people. I've done all the disclaimers I can do about this, about me. Just because I'm talking about it doesn't mean I want it to happen, doesn't mean I want to be right, doesn't mean any of that stuff. I've never wanted to be wrong so much in my life about the shots. I'm just not, though. I'm just not wrong about it. And I think that everyone is starting to figure this out. I think this audience has known for a while because we're just more objective. Give me the information and I'll see what I think. Let me take a look. I don't need the media to tell me how to feel about this. Give me the information. I'll see what I think. Well, people are dropping dead left, right, and center. Died suddenly. Such a loaded term that they've turned it into a movie now, which I watched. But what does this do to the soul of the country? You know, like, what does it do? How do you work in this world when you know that, like, your government just lied, not just once, put out a 2-year lying campaign, which utilized every tactic of interrogation and torture they could put forth to convince you to operate against your own self-interest, to lie to you about products that they knew would hurt you, to allow the pharmaceutical companies asking for 75 years to hide the information. All of this stuff is coming to light now. What does that do to a country? We'll just use America as an example, since I'm here, but it's not limited to America, clearly. The sales pitch was universal. Vaccines are safe and effective. It's the only thing that'll get you through here. How dare you? Do you want to kill grandma? I can't believe you're so selfish. Don't we want to get back to normal? I just need to get on an airplane. I want to go on a vacation. I have to for work. OSHA is going to fire me. All of the tactics, donuts, Talladega, all that shit was there to get you to take a product that you didn't maybe want to take. They tried to ask you nicely. They tried to tell you to do it for the right reasons. They tried to tell you to do it for grandma. They gave you all of the options under the carrot component of this operation. Then, when the numbers weren't good enough, then the stick came out. And the stick was, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose the respect of your family and friends. You're not going to be able to go to Thanksgiving. We're shutting down air travel. We're bulldozing sand into skate parks. We're arresting people for surfing. All that shit. All a gigantic push to get you injected with something that they knew would kill you. How do you deal in a society like that? Obviously, the craziest episode of macroaggressions is Where Did All the People Go? That came out a couple months ago. I got hit up by... That's when I knew this show was international, when I started getting messages from people all over the world and interview requests to come talk to people in fucking Portugal and all kinds of, you know, I mean, like, it just everyone wanted to talk about this. How do you do it, man? What do you do? This is where we're headed. We're headed to a society where we're normalizing pedophilia, we're normalizing assisted suicide. The government is literally trying to kill you with vaccines and gaslighting you into believing that it was all in your imagination, and then has the audacity to make the term gaslighting the term of the year for 2022 in America, at least. That's what they said. The balls on these people, really. Now, and we're moving into this new component where we're getting into reductions of of free speech, which I would say is a subset of the COVID thing too. You know, COVID was used as that, you know, free speech is violence. Now we're starting to see that, you know,
Twitter is violence. Elon Musk is bringing back, where, you know, it's open hunting season on the marginalized communities on Twitter.
Really? Really it is. I've been on Twitter. There's no hunting season there. LGBTQ plus people will be killed because free speech. Okay, explain that one to me. We've got let's just use Twitter as an example since I mentioned it. Elon takes over. We've got employee activists worried about him returning free speech to the platform is the big problem. We have CNN just apoplectic about this. They cannot believe that, you know, talking about what sort of dangers is this going to be? The dangers of free speech? Oh, I see. You know, the people that are worried and concerned about the dangers of free speech are the wrong people, okay? If your big concern is that the general public will have the freedom to express themselves, you're the bad guy in this scenario, just so you know. If you're enthusiastic about restricting people's ability to talk or what they're allowed to read, and you say, well, let's have the book burnings and everything, let me just settle the argument. You're the bad guy. That's what the wrong side does. Okay. So if you're talking about free speech is dangerous, free speech is dangerous to weak people. There is a weakness in this country. Here's a headline from The Guardian. It's just so perfect mainstream media. Elon Musk's Twitter is fast proving that free speech at all costs is a dangerous fantasy. They don't want you to be able to think about things. Ask yourself why that is. Why are you not allowed to have free speech according to the mainstream media? Well, because currently they have a monopoly on speech. They have a monopoly on the media. The media is a monopoly. Twitter was part of that monopoly, but now it appears that it might be breaking away. And again, we can have the Elon discussion, and I'm not saying that he's here to save us all. I would never even for a second think that. But he's going in and changing the rules that have been set for the last couple of years. Okay. So why are they so concerned that he's going to change the rules? Well, because they controlled the rules for a long time, and they don't like that anymore. And now what's going to happen is that there's going to be two sides to the story instead of there only being one side to the story. And when you have two sides to the story, now you've got another option. You have another option for how to feel about these things. Well, obviously there's many ways to feel about these topics, but there has really only been one on Twitter. So the people that are worried about this being a dangerous fantasy are the people that are in the business of controlling speech. It is dangerous. They're right about that. It is dangerous to them. And that brings us to where we'll, the topic that we'll sort of wrap up on, and that is Hollywood. Maybe some good news, though, in Hollywood, because a lot of some of the big corporations are starting to lose a lot of money. And that's how you get their attention. You know, you could try to reason with them. You can tell them do the right thing. You can tell them a bunch of, when they lose money and they have to answer to their shareholders about why they've lost money and why the stock price has gone down, that's when things change. And Disney, being the leader in the woke insanity, has recently made a decision to fire Bob Chapek, and after just about a year on the job, and go back to Bob Iger. Bob Iger has recently made comments that I read today that said that he wanted to take a little bit more of a less aggressive approach with the woke stuff. I don't know. The way he framed it was kind of like, we're going to sort of pull back to an equilibrium or something. But I forget the exact words, but it was something along if you read it one way, it kind of sounded like he was like, we're going to pull back from the woke stuff a little bit. And let me tell you why he might be thinking that. And he didn't come right out and say it specifically, but he was alluding to it. Maybe I'm misreading that. But Disney's latest animated LGBTQ+++++ kids movie
kids movie, bombed. It just absolutely positively bombed at the box office. And it was expected to be a big hit. You know, it's going to come out during Thanksgiving, and we're going to get back in the business. You know, the theaters are open. We're going to pack the theaters. Everyone's going to want to see this great movie about a gay lead character with trans people in there, and even the dog is handicapped. Like, everything about it was like, it was every marginalized community you could get all together on a gay adventure. I mean, I assume it's a gay adventure. I don't know. I didn't see it. We'll have a gay old time, right, Flintstones? But look, they are estimating that this one movie will lose Disney $147 million. One movie. How many Bros movies do you have to make? How many Strange World movies do you have to make? That's the name of this movie. Do you have to make before you get it through your head with the amount of money that Disney lost on this one movie is the equivalent to what Disney spent to buy the Anaheim Angels back in 1996. They could have bought the Angels for what they lost on this one woke movie. Just to put that in perspective. But this is an agenda for Disney. This isn't accidental. This isn't, oh, well, we had a producer and that producer was gay and they thought this would be a good idea. Mm-mm. Nope. Buzz Lightyear earlier this year had gay kiss in it. Ooh. Did not go well at the box office. People went, we're not interested in this. You have Disney fighting Ron DeSantis in Florida over the Reddy Creek bill for Disney World, which gave them a fucking disproportionate advantage, to say the least. I mean, almost an insurmountable lead in Central Florida for competitors like Universal Studios and those theme parks had to deal with. Because Disney got involved and said that what Ron DeSantis was pushing was the Don't Say Gay bill. Nowhere in the bill did it say Don't Say Gay. They made that up. And then Disney got behind it and they started pushing. And you know what happened was that America went, hey, stay out of this. First of all, you're lying about the Don't Say Gay part. You're lying. A 2-minute search on the internet, you could find out that that was a lie. But you didn't just lie about it. You then committed tons of resources towards it. A California-based company getting into a fight in Florida. Now, I recognize they have Disney World in Florida, but they really made that Don't Say Gay, which had nothing, frankly, had nothing to do with Disney at all. They injected themselves into it. And so what did Ron DeSantis do? He nullified the Reddy Creek Act, which gave them that monopoly power. That monopoly power included things like fast-tracked ability for getting buildings permitted and things like that. The permit process may take Universal Studios 3 years to get it, whereas Disney could get it done in 3 months or whatever. That's an example. I'm not talking about a specific thing, but although I do know that there were times where their permits were just, they got a project up and running and built and open to the general public in a year, where Universal Studios, it took 10 years. So it's a big deal. But Disney's stock price, February 2021, $197.09 per share. Okay. Disney's stock price, November 2022, $90. From $197 to $90. That's a $170 billion market cap loss. Get woke, go broke. How long until you figure this out? People are not interested in you sexualizing children. Just because you lunatics in Hollywood are interested in it, don't think that the rest of us are. Let's talk about Netflix. Cuties cost them. And we've talked about this before. Their share price on Halloween 2021, this is the last day of October
2021. So we're talking about a little over a year ago, a year and 2 months ago. Netflix share stock price was $681 a share. 8 months later, in June of 2022, it went from $681 a share down to $169 a share. That was from a $305 billion market cap down to $80 billion. You couldn't lose $225 billion if you tried, and yet Netflix did. Do you know why? Because they started sexualizing children in their movies, promoting that content, allowing it on, letting it live. You know, Twitter was doing the same thing too. It's really funny. They're talking about how, they're talking about how Elon taking over is going to, you know, it's going to be open hunting season on marginalized communities. You had child porn on Twitter for years and years and years when you had all of those account moderators there, all of you people that are in charge of safety of the site. How come you didn't take care of it then? I mean, if you're really concerned about marginalized communities, who could be more marginalized than a bunch of kids being exploited and put on Twitter? You're in charge of content moderation. You didn't do it. You let that stuff stay. Elon Musk comes over, takes over, fires all of you, and then you say it's going to be open hunting season on marginalized community? No, I'm not buying that. Not for a second. You had an opportunity to take care of it while you worked there and get rid of the child porn that was on Twitter, and you chose not to do it. So don't lecture me about how it's open hunting season on anybody, you fucking hypocritical pedophiles. Not interested in it. New Disney movie that came out. I almost forgot about this one. The new Disney movie. Did you see this? This was in the news recently. They showed the picture of it. All the kids holding up the letters. Every kid has a different letter, and it's like three layers of kids. Like they're sort of like like on a elevated bench or something. And so the ones up at the top are holding the letters that say like we, and then it says love, and then it says you, and then it's supposed to say Santa, but instead it says Satan. You don't get the benefit of the doubt from me anymore. Sorry, you don't. How many times are you going to Rumsfeld it? Mistakes were made. We accidentally put the word Satan in there and we meant to put Santa. No, you didn't. No, there's no accident here. Again, I understand the process. You don't slip that through accidentally when it says Satan. We love you, Satan, and you meant for it to say, we love you, Santa, and the letters are right across a big fucking movie screen that is so big that you can't help but see it. And you're going to tell me that mistakes were made? And if you're wondering what to get that special Satanist in your life for Christmas, have you considered the Lil Nas X satanic shoes? Better hurry, though, because there's only 666 pairs of them. And on them, on the side, like on the outer side of one of the shoes, it says Luke 10:18, which is a Bible verse. Do you know what the Bible, you know what it is? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I'm done. I'm out. I'm all out. When Nike is selling Satan shoes, to be fair, Nike says they didn't have this. This was part of some marketing company that did this, and they wound up in a whole fight and everything. Nike's saying they didn't make them. I'm not inclined to believe Nike totally on this. I think there's more to this story. But in the interest of not getting shit sued out of me, I must confess that there was also another marketing company that's involved in this that was doing this Lil Nas X thing, but I don't give a shit. The fact that they thought that that was cute, marketable, funny, and had actual buyers out there is alarming to me, but not surprising. You know, unfortunately not surprising, because when you're in the end of empire, you start to see things that you never thought you would see, not just happen, but become normalized. And I fear where we're headed. It's a dark alley. There's too much of this happening simultaneously for me to just say, well, it's all just a coincidence or just bad luck or a couple rogue actors. it's just far too coordinated for me to believe that. And the use of technology, especially with young kids, to make, you know, scramble their heads and make them think that they're cake gender. You know, if you can make somebody think that they're cake gender, you're not too many steps away from making them feel like taking their own life in an assisted suicide pod is stunning and brave. And unfortunately, it seems like that's the direction that we're headed. Hey, if you thought this episode was interesting and you wanted to share it with your friends and family, please do. Right now is the time to do it. If you want to follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression, or if you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.